My grandmother's house, no matter the time of year, always felt as if it were about to rain. She had these enormous old pecan trees that cast shade over the tiny lot where her house stood, and she kept the blinds shut in the living room so she could peek through and spy on the neighbors. But it always felt dark. Not ominous or scary, but that sleepy feeling you get before a big storm rolls in on a Sunday afternoon, like you knew you were going to be there for a while. After I graduated high school, I stayed with my grandmother to save up money to buy a car and get my own place. Turns out, I really was going to be there for a while. But it worked out great for the two of us. My grandfather had passed away a few years prior from emphysema and lung cancer, and she was all alone. She was getting older and weaker, and I could help with things around the house. We'd end every night with a game of cards that she'd somehow always win, and she'd tell me that Papa was still in the house with her. I never really put much stock into it, and assumed it was a side effect of grief, or suffering the earliest stages of her dementia, which would later claim her life. It's hard to take things like that seriously, and even harder when you're a skeptic. Harder still, when she would read the Sunday obituaries, look up the names of the deceased in the phone book to see if anyone was possibly related to her, or maybe it was someone that served her a sandwich one time at a local cafeteria. Any excuse she could find to go to their funeral. She would attend, take photographs of them lying in their coffins, cut out their obituary, wrap all of it up in wax paper, and put it in a shoebox. Her closets were lined with shoeboxes filled with photos of dead people. This morbid obsession spanned decades of her life, even back to when she was a girl. She looked at them like baseball cards, like prized collections based on how pretty they looked in their coffin, how bad their makeup was or wasn't, how she wanted Mr. So-and-so to do her makeup when she dies. And all of this horrified me because I couldn't understand how casual she was about piles upon piles of dead people's pictures. I made my family swear that they'd never put me in an open casket when I died. So yeah, when Grandmother said, "I saw Papa today," you'd kind of just smile and change the subject. There were other things about her that I hadn't been warned about, namely her sleep talking. She never left her bedroom, she didn't wander around or anything. She only talked out loud in her sleep. The first time, I woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of a child's voice murmuring. I couldn't make out any words, but it was loud enough to wake me. It was just the two of us in the house, so where was this child's voice coming from? It got louder and louder, and I could finally make out the words, "No! No! Don't touch me! No!" I leapt out of bed to check on my grandmother because someone was in the house with us. I just knew it. As I came down the hallway, I heard the voice coming from inside her room. What? I slowly opened her bedroom door. To my horror, she was on her knees on the bed wearing a silk white gown, tiny curlers in her hair held by a mesh scarf, beating the shit out of her pillows, screaming. It wasn't a child, it was my fucking grandmother. I backed out of the room, feeling the huge portrait of my grandfather staring at me from the end of the hallway. I remembered him occasionally having black eyes, and now I know why. Papa got his ass kicked while he was sleeping. No wonder he was such an asshole all the time. But this was weird. This was really, really weird. I don't know how she made her voice sound like that, how it was so high, so shrill. Her normal speaking voice was gravelly and raspy from all the cigarettes she smoked in secret. Then I remembered the girl. Once when I was a kid, I was wandering around her house while she made cornbread. I looked out the back door to her shady yard that barely let in the sun. I saw a girl about my age. She was standing by the old, white, rusty swing set that my mother and her sisters used when they were children. And she was looking right at me, but her feet weren't there. She had a pretty Easter dress on, cropped blonde hair, but she didn't have any feet. I hadn't realized then it was a ghost, or some trick of the eye, or maybe my imagination, right? That's probably what it was. I imagined it. My parents were always telling me I imagined something. But maybe I didn't? Maybe while my grandmother slept, she was being... No, that is too weird. I can't even go there. But my older sister lived there for a while, a few years after I moved out. My sister, who always kept her door shut, woke up one night after only a few short hours of sleep. She immediately noticed that her bedroom door was open. That's odd. Grandmother never bothered her, and no one would dare mess with my sister with her door shut without knocking. Lord help you if you did. She sat up in bed for a moment, then called out to grandmother to see if she was maybe in the hallway, if she needed something. No answer. But then a face suddenly manifested in the dark doorway. It was Papa's face. Seconds later, his frail body appeared, as if he was turning the corner and coming in, casual as you please, and he walked over toward her on the bed. She was frozen, but she squeezed her eyes shut to make it go away. Then she felt him sit down on the bed. She felt him sit down on the bed. She opened her eyes and he was still there. "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid," he kept saying over and over, his voice still strained and weak from the emphysema and lung cancer. And he kept reaching for her. Holy shit, this was Papa's ghost and he was on her bed, and what the fuck, she thought. She didn't feel like this was a good thing. This wasn't a nice visit. This wasn't one of those stories people tell after someone dies and they visit you in a dream and tell you some unknown truth about the world or whatever. This was something wearing his face. She pulled the covers over her head and screamed, "You aren't welcome here! You have to go! You have to get out! Please leave!" Eventually, he did. The next day, she asked grandmother if she had opened her bedroom door during the night. "No," she'd said, "but I saw it was flung wide open when I left this morning." My sister swears to this day it happened, and after that, I never heard grandmother talk about Papa visiting again. If that was true, I'm actually sad she didn't have the nice encounters she claimed to have with him again. Maybe she just stopped talking about it. A few years later, she burned her house to the ground.
God damn.
Hi.
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 This is Jamie Markey.
And I am a faint-hearted Michael Tatum.
He's a slightly pissed his pants Michael Tatum.
Slightly. Like, I lost a beat of pee from that story.
A full... And with us today is the lovely
Beth Featherstone.
Yes.
Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
She's our friend. We love her.
And she's awesome. She's awesome. We like awesome people, so yeah, naturally we get on with Beth.
Yeah. And this is Ghoul Intentions.
Ghoul Intentions.
And today's episode is titled, "What Fresh Hell Is This?" which is from Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre.
Eyre, that's how you say it.
Jane Eyre. Jane Eyre.
I don't think I've ever said it out loud.
It's an odd name. It's an odd spelling.
I like to say Irie. Irie. Just to really piss
Jane Irie.
Yeah.
You could just go all the way in New York.
Yeah, why not?
Let's just call her Janie Irie. No one will understand, but it's kind of interesting. It's a good phrase. I like "what fresh hell is this." We use it often in our day-to-day life. I know I do.
Yes,
and people
all three
do,
of
but
us do, I think.
I think most people feel that it comes from Star Trek or something like that. Yeah. But nope, it comes from classic gothic literature.
Well, and there's the fire in the story of Jane Eyre as
yes.
well.
And there's the mad woman in the attic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Pretty well-worn Victorian lit trope.
Yeah.
But yeah, you talk about a family with secrets.
Mine has plenty.
Yeah.
Ooh, goodness. You can always check out our blog at ghoulintentions.com for more information about the "What Fresh Hell Is This?" and Jane Nee Irie.
Yeah,
anyway, he's going to write a blog about
it. I want to write some literary bullshit, you know, like I try to do. It'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
Change your life.
Yeah, it's not going to be on time, but it will be there.
These things take time.
You know, what is on time, really?
Really, you know? What is it? It's a concept. It's a construct of our own making.
What is that?
I refuse to be hemmed in by the gentrification of the clock.
Or like a deadline. So.
Ooh, deadline. I see what you did there.
Yeah, it wasn't a pun.
I don't believe in time, man. Time doesn't control me.
So, did you ever find out, like, why your grandmother burnt down the house?
Well, that was at the time that her dementia had just gotten really bad.
Okay.
But she refused to leave that house. She didn't want to, you know, have any kind of special care or anything like that. So, on the weekends, my aunt would come pick her up, and she'd stay there
for the weekends just to make sure she was, you know, showered and taken care of. But she, before she left, she had turned on all the burners on the stove. And it just went up. It was just a really tiny, tiny house and just poof. I mean, I imagine all of those
tinder
pictures
just...
of dead people wrapped in wax paper might have helped.
So you know my story, too, about...
Yeah. It's weird. But I mean, she had... You couldn't have closet space. Everything had to be in drawers because the closets were filled with these shoe boxes. I mean, I'm telling you...
My mother was not that avid a collector.
Yeah,
she has a nice box of it, but
for
I think...
For listeners who don't know, Michael's mother... also collected pictures of dead people.
Yeah, taken in their casket that she took herself. All because when she was a little girl and the first funeral she had attended was of her grandmother, and she experienced her grandmother in her casket looking at her, like opening her eyes and looking at her. And so I think she won't ever admit to this, not my mom, but I think she takes pictures of people in their caskets to make sure their eyes are closed. Because I think that bothered her, that really bothered her all her life. Oof. Yeah, but it's an age-old tradition of taking pictures of the dead.
My grandfather kept shoeboxes like crazy, but his were filled with every greeting card he was ever given.
That's far nicer than pictures
of
dead people.
But they were greeting cards from dead
people. But he also, though, he did that thing.
You know, this is a $1 million idea. Someone should make greeting cards from the pictures of the dead.
We call it Hallmark. Off the cuff.
Did it.
We would... rolling in it, guys. We would be rolling in it.
He did the thing, though, with the obituaries, where he'd collect them and he'd go to the funerals. He would go to the hospital to see people.
Oh, that's a lot of dedication.
Yeah, like, that was his thing. Because my grandmother died, like, 17 years before he passed away. Mm-hmm. So he just had all of this time, and he dedicated it... to going to funerals.
I kind of admire that, though. Yeah. I mean, that's when you're that comfortable with your own mortality. Because I think you kind of have to be if you're that obsessed with death of others.
It must come from you feel like your life is drawing to a close, and you want to kind of figure out, kind of scope it out as far as you can.
Maybe if I get real close to it, then it's gonna happen.
Yeah, or I'll be ready. It's like a simulated experience, you know. I think my mother goes to funerals, and she goes to a lot of funerals too. But she always has. And it has nothing to do, at least it didn't, with her own mortality. It had everything to do with just she liked going to funerals because she liked, I don't know, she just believed in going and paying your last respects to people.
Funerals would be more popular if there was an open bar.
I feel like funerals would be more popular if they weren't always playing Sarah McLachlan. Like, that wasn't, the go-to
song. Right. And then you think of puppies, and that makes you...
Yeah, just cut back a little, guys.
I think it's interesting how... I think for my mother, when I think back on it now, my mother being a genealogist, I think the members of our family who are long deceased have always been slightly more real and present for her than living, breathing people. Which is not to suggest that she was in any way a negligible parent, but I think she's more interested in people whose stories are finished. Because for someone, a historian, that's a little more... it's easy to kind of hem that in, but with living people, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll get to you. I'm fascinated by that concept. So I think my mother goes to funerals a lot because I think she feels that dead people are more real. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just kind of putting words in her mouth. I'd tell her that, and she'd be like, you're crazy. That's not, what are you talking about?
I have to.
It's family. I gotta go.
My grandmother every time you'd see her, she'd be like, you remember that, Jimmy, he used to babysit you when you was a kid. I don't remember that person. Well, he died. I mean, every time you saw her, it was like, well, he died.
That's how my mother is. My mother will remember everybody. Oh, do you remember this was so-and-so's roommate's cousin's former hairdresser's best friend's ex?
Why would I remember that?
One day helped me trim a tree, you know, when you were 12. And, you know, and he died.
Sorry?
It's kind of like that with a more dramatic twist.
Oh, really?
So hers is, you know, my cousin, my second cousin, it's your third cousin. And she'd say his name. Yeah. He moved to this state and he did this and this was his job. Yes, Mom, I know who you're talking about. And he did da 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 and he did this and she'd just keep telling his history. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Then it's like that's how long she had to hold it together. Then she had permission to let it out. So who's this? Who's this? Yep, I know who you're talking about, Mom. He's dead! And that's how, like, I can't tell you how many people I found out.
Wow.
She's lucky I never returned that favor, because there were some times I had to tell her things that were very upsetting. Mm-hmm. She's lucky I didn't do that back to her, because this little evil part of me really wanted to. He's dead.
I just want to do that with totally mundane news. Like, yeah. So we're going to order from Shake Shack.
Like Shake Shack. Do you remember the Shake Shack that used to be on 75? It's dead.
You know what's funny? And this is, I think we did. It was so good. Hashtag they are not our sponsors. Yet.
Hashtag. But,
they're so good.
Wiggle Hut. Nuts. Yeah, this, yeah. Vibrating but, House.
Wiggle Big Wong.
Oh, wait. The shake is because of the drink, not because of the action of shaking. Don't let me name anything.
Sorry. Vaulted Mansion.
But it makes me think of my mother who...
Wiggle
my
Hut.
Mother...
Well, because my teacher used to call William Shakespeare Billy Wigglestick, and I always thought that was so freaking hilarious.
Nope, someone's gone. We've lost him. He has
a... Mayor not to be Billy Wigglestick.
Please do not say I have a mule in my mouth.
An entire mule.
No, just the part that counts. Part. Wait, no, that's how you're making the... A Moscow mule.
Why are you yelling?
Because I almost died.
He's dead.
It's funny. It makes me think of my mother. Whenever she would tell, like, the news of someone dying, she's very reverential about it. She's like, well, so-and-so died. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really it was kind of long and drawn-out battle with such-and-such illness and whatever. And then once she's got you, and then she starts plying you with all these morbid details about the death.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, so-and-so passed away in a car wreck. It was a freak thing. Like, there was no, you know, railroad crossing sign didn't work, and so they went across and the train hit them, and it was really awful. Pause as you lean in closer. Apparently her eyes popped out of her head. Like, my mother just loves to, like, hit you with that. And you go, whoa, I wasn't ready for that shot.
My grandmother was like that, too. Like, she flew right out of that car, and she looked like hamburger meat on the side of the road. They had to use spatulas to get her up off that road. I'll tell you what.
She had a dog in her hands, and it just exploded on the windshield of the car. Poor thing. They still haven't found the head.
It still smells. Every time you get in there, they smell it.
My mother, and she loves to put her hand to her breast as though she's like, I'm just telling you, this is just, I can't believe I'm the one that has to do it.
It's so surprising to me that your mother is a flagrant pearl clutcher. I never would have imagined that.
She is so much. And yet she married my father, who has no pearls to clutch at all. My father would be like, oh, yeah, her head totally, you know, it fell off, burned.
Oh, yeah, that shit was
fine.
Busted.
Bitch had it coming. Like, that's my dad, just nothing gets to him. But yeah, what were we talking about? We've gotten off on this whole thing.
That had a very scary story that she
did.
It was a very scary story.
So was there other stuff that happened in the house, or is it that really?
Well, it was, you know, not for me. My sister and my grandmother always talked about it, and my mom talked about it. But that house is as old as my mom is. She grew up there when she was a baby, so it was... all of the stuff that was there was all the stuff that she had as a kid. I mean, nothing changed in the decor, you know?
That's so it just felt... Talk about being haunted by your own past.
Yeah, and the swing set, though, it was, you know, it used to be white, and parts of paint was still there, but it was mostly rusted, and it was that kind of swing set where you had two swings, and then one was like a seesaw seat where you could sit across from someone and... and... It just always felt spooky back there. And, you know, in common Southern fashion, when there's a lots of kids, get the hell outside while the grand, you know, the grown-ups are talking, blah, blah, blah. And so we'd have to run to the backyard. And I don't know, it's just this weird, eerie feeling. And like I said, those pecan trees, no sunlight, nothing, just dark. But yeah, I remember that girl, and I can't believe that I hadn't remembered it until I heard my grandmother's voice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, I know people can make their voice sound a certain way, but it sounded like a completely different person. It sounded like a Carol Ann child screaming. And my grandmother had this, like, raspy, you know, kind of voice. And then you hear, oh, no! That was terrifying. Nobody told me this was a thing that she did, but nobody ever said anything about her doing that voice.
Right.
And that's what really creeped me out. It was just her just being like, and she'd punch stuff. She was very violent. And, you know, punching my grandpa. Yeah. So, like, that's when they would get their aggression out. Was like, just wait till you go to bed.
Just wait.
Well, yeah, old Southern lady. You had to be tough.
Yeah. Oof. So it was very alarming. And then, of course, seeing her in that state, you know, because she wore those long white silk gowns and had the mama's family curlers, you know, in her hair to keep it permanent, you know. It's just very, very upsetting.
Did she roll her hair every night?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She'd go to the beauty salon. She had to get a tint, get a blue tint this time. I might be purple. She never said that. That's just the colors that always ended up being on her head from these, like, shitty beauty salons. But my sister, with the Papa thing coming into the bedroom.
Yes.
First of all, he was 5'5", maybe weighed 80 pounds, and always wore brown coveralls. Mm-hmm. So we used to think he worked for UPS when we were kids. Like, he's a UPS man. But he was just bitter and mean. He was not a nice man. He smoked 3 to 4 packs of unfiltered Pall Malls a day. And even when he had lung cancer, and even after they removed his testicles from gangrene, from emphysema and lung cancer, yeah, he was still smoking.
He had cancer in his balls?
No, it's like...
His balls were gangrenous.
Yeah, the circulation.
The lack of circulation. Ooh, God.
He was dedicated to smoking.
Wow.
That's the scariest thing you've heard all day. That's the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, and he just would wheeze and cough. And so I would hear that. I would hear him coughing.
Was he nice after he had his testicles removed?
No. I mean, after he died, I would hear him coughing in that house.
Oh.
Yeah, like, because he'd go into the bag and...
Yeah.
Just that noise, hearing that is not... I don't like that. I never saw him, though.
My grandmother passed from emphysema as well, and she would do this, like, she would have her oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do this, too, where they'd go smoke anyway?
Oh, yeah, he smoked until he died.
Yeah,
I had a grand aunt that would do that. She was a smoker, and she died of emphysema and lung cancer as well, and she had an oxygen tank in the nursing home, and she'd still go out just smoke, you know.
She didn't, coughing in her house, but I would smell. Years later. And it's not you walk into a room and it smells smoky because people in there smoke. My grandpa didn't smoke. Mm-hmm. But it would be like you're walking down the hallway and it would just be like some blue smoke in your face. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And it would be like, oh, hi, grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, why couldn't you blow lilacs in my face? Wouldn't that be lovely?
My grandfather on my father's side was a smoker. He smoked, but he smoked really aromatic stuff. He smoked pipes and he smoked cigars. Mm-hmm. He didn't like cigarettes so much because my grandmother thought they stunk up the house, but she was okay with the smell.
She's not wrong.
Well, she was okay with pipe smoke because she liked the perfume of it. But I found out later in life, toward the end of his life, actually, about in 2003, he died in 2003. He was in the war, and he talked about it a lot, but he didn't really talk about, like, the hard stuff. He talked about the more heroic things, you know, because he wasn't a very dramatic guy. But toward the end of his life, because I was a writer, he wanted me to, like, interview him, and, like, he wanted to tell all these stories. He wanted to kind of unburden himself. And so I taped for about 2 or 3 weeks. I went over there every day and recorded, you know, him on tape recorder, just telling these stories.
You still have those?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
That is
awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he, because he served under Patton in whatever armored division that was. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
In the military?
But he was there he was there when the beaches of Normandy were stormed. He was there in Bastogne. He was there when, I think Dachau was liberated. Or discovered, not liberated. That's the wrong word, because they found everyone.
You're the only one in this room who knows what you're talking about.
No, I know. A famous concentration camp.
You two are the only two in this
room. You two out of three.
So you two out of three.
You majority.
You stand alone.
You said a word that clearly has more letters in it than you pronounced.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when I normally am like, I don't know.
But he saw a lot of action in the war, and he didn't talk about the really awful stuff, which he had to have seen. And one of the things that came out while I was interviewing him, or just not interviewing, just kind of letting him talk, was that the reason he smoked is because he had experience with death where he would, like, you know, you could smell it. And he's like, the smell, once someone, like, say if someone, you know, he was in a tank and he was promoted to gunner. And when you're in a tank company, you only get promoted when someone who has the job dies. And then you move up because they need a gunner now. So he became gunner when the gunner ahead of him got shot and killed by a sniper. And apparently that guy landed on him after being shot and bled all over his clothes. And of course, he had to wear those clothes for the duration of his service because there was very little opportunity in action to wash your clothes. And he said that smell, the smell stayed with him forever. And so when he got back, like, it was still just so lodged in his mind, the only thing he could do to fight it was to smoke cigars and that. And so he smoked all the time, just, and I know now, and he wore it so lightly because you wouldn't have known that. He was always a kind of chipper guy. It's like he had made a pact with God at some point of, like, let me live through this and come back home to my wife, because he was already married to my grandmother when he got drafted. Let me come back home to my wife and I will never complain for the rest of my life. And he was not a complainer, but he smoked all the time just to kind of, I guess, to mask the smell of his buddy, you know, that was still with him, you know, years in his 80s. He died at 89 and he still had that smell. So that's just, you know, it's crazy. It's easy to kind of look at someone and judge their habits, you know, like, oh, how could you do that? It's killing you. But you realize, you're like, oh, there's a deep reason they're doing it. It's not just they're.
So now, from now on, whenever I see an old man smoking a cigar, I'm going to be like, dead body smell.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I'm not.
Maybe.
Did you get promoted in a kind of icky way? Is that what happened?
Oh,
God.
Yeah. Hate that for you, but I get a cigar now.
Right. Now
so
I understand.
I'm in a place of understanding.
You still can't do it in the restaurant, though. You have to go outside.
It's really.
Sorry.
I've been so mad by that. I've been so mad at not being able to smoke indoors. But yeah.
Wow. Thank you for that story.
Yeah,
of course.
That was a really chilling story.
Another one.
We do.
Darren.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it actually comes from Scotland. This story takes place in Scotland.
Are you going to do the whole story in a Scottish accent?
No, I'm not. Okay. I don't have.
I don't think you should. I thought it would be funny if you tried.
I don't have a Scottish accent, and I really don't want to offend Darren with my attempt.
Yeah.
So, all right. Though only certain elements of what follows are clear in my mind, one detail will stay with me forever. With little effort, I can still see it swimming in the darkness behind my eyelids, and still shudder at the thought. The only comfort I have is the knowledge that at least one other person shares this memory. Passing the time on a bench beside an empty playground one gray afternoon, my best friend and I looked out over a large, sprawling wheat field at the foot of a nearby hill. Lashed by a brisk wind, the even rows rolled like ocean waves toward the forest opposite. As we watched, mesmerized, random patterns of movement began to emerge in different areas of the field, against the action of the wind. Quick, ragged traces as of things scuttling among the wheat. Before long, shapes rose into view. Tall, thin, vaguely humanoid silhouettes, all converging toward a point somewhere behind the trees. Both of us asked the other if we were seeing what we were seeing. Puzzled, we left our bench and, appetites whetted for spooky experiences, made our way toward a small cemetery nestled in the woods not far off. We picked about the headstones for a while, uneventfully, not sure what we expected to find. Within sight stood an old house and a tool shed separated from the cemetery by a clutch of trees. As we began to leave, we glanced at the dilapidated old shed, froze in our tracks. In the window loomed a face that twitched as we met its deathly gaze. Pale, human yet somehow not, enormous eyes, wide head, and worst of all, a large, horrible mouth twisted into a heart-stopping grin. As it leered at us from the other side of the glass, my friend and I locked eyes and without a word ran for all we were worth. We later described the face to each other in vivid detail, and our accounts matched. I have no idea who or what that face belonged to, let alone what it wanted of us, but to this day, any time I'm asked to tell a scary story, that ghastly smile springs to mind as if it were right in front of me. I think the lesson here is, if you have one spooky experience, don't tempt fate by going to a fucking cemetery.
Yeah. I think the lesson here is, don't go to a fucking cemetery! Yeah. If you are not visiting a loved one, or going to a funeral, it's none of your business.
That's a little limiting. I mean...
Yeah, we're going to do your photo shoots for Halloween, right? I get it. But still...
Whatever. Cemeteries can be lovely places.
Cemeteries are for dads to make those jokes that all dads make of, you know, do you know how many people are dead in there? All of them. Or people are dying to get in there. Those two. Right. That's really the only time. It's just for a dad to drive by.
It's the clever dad that will make specific jokes based on the name on the gravestones. Yeah. Like, oh, look, that person's called Stiff. Guess it was fate that they're here.
I just don't want to see a twisted smile of any... real or
well,
ghost.
To be fair, it wasn't in the cemetery that they saw it. It was in the window of the tool shed nearby. Oh, now, God. Why anyone would live next to a cemetery, that's the problem here. That's the real moral. Don't build your house next to a cemetery.
There was a tool shed on the property, I thought. A tool shed for the cemetery.
I mean, I guess, but it was like separated by kind of a...
You have to have tools to take care of your cemetery.
I guess you do, but, I mean...
Still, no.
But you gotta wonder if there's any relationship to what they saw in the field.
I think, Darren, what we're saying is that's what you fucking get.
They have no sympathy. I mean, come on. I'm the kind of guy, I would have gone, like, after seeing some weird shit in a wheat field, I would have been like, huh.
Time to go home.
I'm kind of in the mood for something spooky now, let's go to the cemetery. I would do that. You wouldn't do that? I know you wouldn't do that. No. You wouldn't do that, Beth?
I guess it would depend. It would depend on the time of the month for me, I think. Where the moon is, right? And this, you know, like,
is it a full moon?
Yeah. How bitchy am I today?
Isn't that a troubling thing, like the full moon? So you go out on a full moon, you're gonna have the most light, but you're also gonna have the most werewolves, and
that's a if you wear moonstone, Jamie, you are protected. So I think everyone knows that.
Oh my God, the moonstone. The Moonstone is a famous Victorian detective novel by Wilkie Collins, who was a friend of Charles Dickens.
Nerd alert.
Oh, I'm the nerd.
Well, I love the Charles Dickens out of you, so you just go right ahead.
There's a dad joke. See, you belong in a cemetery.
I could totally
I mean, in the
be
best
a dad.
Possible way.
I could be everyone's dad. I'll be the dad of the world.
You will be will be the Genghis Khan.
Basically. Basically.
Oh my God.
Good headgear. I like the, you know.
Headgear.
I mean, surely at some point in your lives, as level-headed and as adult and as consummately practical we try to be, you know, now that we are well into our adulthood and our life of responsibility, there have to have been times, I mean, with varying degrees of success, there had to have been times where... but there had to have been times when you find yourself in a scary story, in the middle of a scary story, and realize, fuck, I did this to myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be. I mean, that's. I think that's a more relatable kind of story because then it didn't just come out of the blue. It's like, no, this grew out of my own choices.
Yeah, and that actually would be me because I'm the person that goes to check to see what's happened.
Yes.
You know, like with hearing that voice in my grandmother's house, I immediately was like, well, I gotta go see what this shit's about.
Yeah, right. I couldn't leave that alone.
Well, because it doesn't occur to you.
Yeah.
That it's something
supernatural, right?
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's more like, you know, well, I hear this voice in the other room, and if I'm gonna die, I want to know what's gonna do it. Like, I want to at least face it down. Like, that's me. I don't want to just be like, oh, that's just heard a weird noise in the other room. I'm just gonna sit here and wait for it to come in to my room. And
I exist in that stage of denial where if I just ignore it, it's not someone that's gonna come kill me.
Yeah, but if your covers are appropriately, you know, tucked around your body, you are safe.
If you can't see it, it can't see you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, in where we are right now, in my house, we are in the office, and I oftentimes, when I'm home alone, when I'm downstairs, will hear movement from this room, and it's There's nobody up here. I never come check it, because first of all, I'm not going up the stairs for no reason.
Yeah,
like,
screw you.
Bullshit.
Yeah, no.
But
and despite my constant protestations that she should go up and see what it is. Because if I were here, I would. And do.
But it happens so much. It's like, it's nothing. It's nothing. I'm going to go up there and be like, oh, it's nothing. At least I got my steps in.
Yeah.
You know.
Damn it, I left my phone on the counter and it's not even tracking it.
I know, yeah. So, right.
I gotta track all my steps.
So I just don't, I mean, unless it's something, you know, that's big. But you know, there was one time, this is a terrifying story. I came home, this place, this is my previous home. I was at home, I was taking the trash out. And the trash was in the front of the house, like on the side of the house.
Okay.
So when I went around, that's the same side that the back gate was at. And the gate was fucking open. Like, wide open. I'm at home by myself. Remember, the dogs just went crazy a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. So,
did you think at this point, like, supernatural, or were you like, no, someone's, like, trying to get in my house?
No, someone's trying to get in my house. And it never changed from that. So, I didn't even put my trash in the trash can. I just turned around with the garbage bag and went right back inside. Mm-hmm. The back door I knew was unlocked. And so, I went back and locked it. And then was like, you know, like, fuck, somebody could be in the house with me. I had to call a friend and walk in and have them on the phone with me while I walked through and checked all the closets. Every closet was like, this is the death. This is how the guy is at this closet. Every closet. It was terrifying. And so then I was irritated because then there's nothing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I was relieved, but also like, God, what the fuck? And then when I went outside to investigate, because I did go investigate at that point, there was a shovel leaned up on the side of the house.
No.
Yeah. Just a shovel.
No,
and I was like,
no, thank you. No.
So what I did is grab it and shout, it's mine now, motherfucker.
You got to take control. And that's
the
question.
The bravery,
like,
when
you know,
you're screaming into the air and no one is around is pretty amazing.
Well, where I was, there was a deck, and then there was like a lower deck that kind of went over a creek. And so I went down, I looked in the backyard, it wasn't very big, and I went to the right and I looked, and then to the left, I couldn't look around the house unless I went out on the deck. So I went out on the deck with the shovel, like, as my weapon. And looked around the corner, and then I didn't see anything, but as I'm standing on the deck, I'm thinking, this is the part in the horror movie where the person's underneath the deck. And so, very slowly, I looked under my legs, and there was nothing. But it was fucking scary. I went inside, I yelled some more cuss words outside, and I shut the door and locked it and didn't move until somebody came over.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's
terrifying.
So scary.
That's terrifying.
Nah, but so, if I think it's real, go figure that. If I think there's something really there that could
like
kill me,
person,
then I'm
a
like,
person
I'm
that actually
go.
Wants to turn you into a ghost.
So I'm gonna die in the Friday the 13th and the
but
Halloween.
It's the devil, you know, because you don't know if it's supernatural. You don't know what, I mean, is it gonna like come inside your body and make you an asshole to the rest of your family? Is it gonna like suck your soul down into another realm? You don't know.
I don't know.
It's just some asshole who's trying to like rob you or something, you know,
or
hit
kill
it with
you.
A shovel,
or
right?
Yeah. So I feel like.
It's kind of, both options are equally terrifying to me, so.
The serial killer, real life, scary dude movie is the one I'm dying in. I'm not going to die in the supernatural Ouija board one.
And that's the one I'm dying
That's the one you're dying
that's
in.
That's the one I'm dying in. Yeah. But I'm not going to die in the slasher flick. In the slasher flick, I'm like,
won't you?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm gay. I'll be at least the second to last person to die.
But that doesn't mean you don't die.
Okay, but
you're still dead if you're the second to last.
But if I can,
to die,
I feel like if I can make it to the, if I can
works.
Make it to that point in the movie, I'll figure something out.
If I was in better shape, I would be the heroine that came out alive.
I like that because you're very funny as well.
I just don't want to put up with people's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone else, if their bullshit is keeping me from, you know, freedom.
Sorry, I turned off my phone. Didn't turn off my watch. Every week it's something. Okay, go ahead, sir.
No, just like, you know, if someone is like slowing down the rest of us from survival, you just need to get your shit together, because I'm not coming back for you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's you just want to
you know, I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm,
your
I'm
shit.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're going to kill all of us.
Yeah.
You're the killer.
As
you're
soon as
the
someone's
killer.
Leg breaks, nah, sorry. It's like an old woman with a broken hip. You're going to be gone in like 6 months, so Sorry.
Should not have done that.
I mean, it sucks, but honestly, you just got to turn to that person and be like, look, hey, at least one of us is getting out.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
I'll tell the story well.
Yeah, if somebody I will
remember
ground,
you.
Injured on the ground saying, don't wait for me, I'm going to take them at their word and not wait for their ass.
Yeah.
Sorry, we would be terrible to be with.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, I love you. I love you with all my heart, and you as well. If we're ever in a situation, be it ghost or slasher, where we are being chased, and you are weighing me down at all, goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I love you. I'm just telling you that now, so if it ever happens, you'll know. Cool.
Yeah.
We had this discussion. You're not allowed to be mad at me.
Yeah. And also, depending on how bad my depression is that day, I'll either be the heroine or I'll be the one going, go on without me. I'll hold him back. I welcome it.
Then, if your depression's kicked in, then the killer won't kill you because you're no fun.
Right.
I'll make him kill me.
Yeah,
I will make him.
And you're going to creep out the killer.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is awkward.
And then I will have saved
this
everyone.
You're no
and then
sport.
I'll be like, damn it, I'm alive. It didn't work. It didn't work.
You know, that trope has not been explored in horror movies. Like,
right.
The usefulness of depression in winning the day against
death. Because we're always the one that survives everyone else.
That's true. That's fucking true. Why is that? That seems unfair.
Oh, I have some other stories.
Yes. Okay.
So these were sent in by Bailey, and it's just several different stories that I thought I'd read, and we can discuss them.
Another sip of Moscow Mule before we begin.
Have at it, you slurpy motherfucker. All right. That sounds empty.
I'm going to have a little bit of Beth's because she hasn't had all of
them. Oh, snap.
She's being responsible, and I'm not.
I can have a drink.
She's got to go do things.
No,
I make them really strong.
Just because of my medicine, I can't
okay.
like...
Oh, I gotcha.
I might get a little shitty. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to start.
Yeah. Okay.
Just don't tweet.
No.
Okay.
I don't even have a Twitter account for that reason.
Oh, nice.
Smart.
I don't need to tell people what I'm thinking.
Thank you, Bailey, for these submissions. Here's the first one. My mother told me this story after I told her about how great this podcast was. I love the opening. The first few years of my life were spent living in a small town in northern Utah, about half an hour away from Salt Lake City. My mother was in a position to stay at home with my younger brother and I, and more often than not, the snow kept us indoors during the winter. My mother, bless her heart, was a big old germaphobe, and that kept us from playing in many public playgrounds. One winter, when I was maybe 6 years old and my brother 4, we'd been going slightly stir-crazy from being cooped up inside our house for a few days, and there was a Carl's Jr. that had just been opened in our town. My mother decided that she would take us there to get a treat and play in the play area, which was new, and therefore clean in her mind. It was made for children, it's not new. Anyway, sorry. We went, and we were the only people in the store aside from the workers. My mother read her new issue of People magazine for about an hour and decided it was time for us to go home. She called for us to come down, and when we did, she heard my brother say, okay, goodbye. Confused, my mother asked who he'd been talking to, and my brother pointed to the empty play area and said, the little boy, Luke. My mother said she felt chills run down her spine. We had no idea, but my father's youngest brother had died as an infant, and his name had been Luke. There was no way that as a 6 and 4 year old that we could have known, but she and my grandmother believed that we were playing with our deceased uncle. It never happened again to our knowledge, but my grandmother was grateful to know that her youngest child was still able to have friends and play in another life since he was unable to in this one.
That's kind of sweet.
I love that story.
Thank you, Carl's Jr.
I know. Bringing families together.
Bringing family beyond the grave.
That's right. I used to get their cheeseburger. It was like $2.02 in college, and I would get all of my pennies together for that.
That's the spookiest story yet.
That was terrifying. That's a good one. I think it's a lot, you know, there are a lot of Lukes in this world, but I like that. It could have been, you know, playing with the ghost of her uncle. I feel like saying we're playing with our deceased uncle is a little disturbing when you think of it literally.
Yeah, because just to replace deceased with dead. We're playing with our dead uncle. Sounds like you just dug up a body.
Yeah, this
like,
is hey, a weekend at Bernie's. This is
we're
a
having thing. We're having tea with Uncle Luke.
Yeah,
well, we're having tea on Uncle Luke.
Okay, next story.
Sorry.
In high school. school, I was a member of the yearbook staff, and I was more than happy to use that press pass to get to talk to the people who used to come and speak for us. One of those times, it was a Holocaust survivor who came and spoke in an assembly. It was an incredibly moving assembly, and I was so excited to go and thank the man for coming to speak with us. Thank God for that press pass. When I did, this blind and nearly deaf man shook my hand, smiled at me, and told me he was glad that I could be there, and that it was so kind of me to have brought my grandmother with him. So let me say that again. And that it was so kind of me to have brought my grandmother with me. Confused, I looked around, and it was only me, my English teacher, and this kind gentleman. I parroted the word grandmother back to him, and he nodded and pointed behind me. Of course, my English teacher and I looked around and didn't see anything, but I believe that this gentleman had actually seen my deceased grandmother, the grandmother from the previous story.
Wow. Ooh. But that's kind of nice, though.
I like that, too. These
I kind of
nice
like the nice stories. This one, yeah. there's a you know ghost
or
child getting to play.
Holocaust survivors, very drunk and seeing two of people. Mm-hmm. Which is another really nice story. I love that, too.
Well, that's, but he would be seeing two of someone, and one of them would look a lot older. That's a gift. Like, I'm not just seeing double, I'm seeing old you and young you at the same time. Yeah. That goes beyond just normal.
Right, that's a really good point.
Yeah, that's not just, I have never been, I've been drunk a few times in my life. I've never been that drunk. I mean, I've seen myself.
I think it's important to have a goal.
I think it depends on what you're drinking. You need to, you know, really go ham on some alcohol and just.
I've never seen double. Have you ever seen double? Mm-mm. No. It's a phrase, and I've always thought it's just like a figure of speech.
I just figured it was that's when you're dizzy.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. That's just like, oh, the room is spinning. And even then, the room's not really technically spinning. It's just like, it just can't make up its mind where it is.
After the spinning comes the double. Anyway.
You say that from a place of deep experience.
I see.
Then, you know what? You have to find out what your dominant eye is some way. Mine's my left.
Okay. So your left one is really giving me the shit right now. And your right eye is like, right. I like you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes.
Dominant.
One eye
right.
is a judging eye.
So that's your evil eye.
Right. But no, the eye that I see the best from, like if I close one eye, the one that's more on point is my left eye. And I found that out from seeing double.
Interesting.
It's for science.
You see double, you're forced to make a choice.
It's true. It's very true. When you're using steps, that's how you know.
One
Everybody
of
probably
these.
Just always says, once she starts drinking, she just gets real winky.
So flirty.
Here's how you know if I'm seeing double or I'm winky.
In the meantime.
I cannot actually wink without opening my mouth.
Oh.
But you wink with an accent. What the fuck?
I do.
Jesus Christ.
It's a whole thing.
That's so funny.
But like, I'll try. It feels very weird.
I can do this.
Oh, she's got a twitchy. Like,
wait.
You got the twitchy wink?
Is it? Ah. Oh.
What are you trying to do?
My dad, I inherited this from my dad where we can just flutter one eye.
It was fluttering.
It was fluttering.
It's just like it's very strange.
I want to see if I can do it.
This is great for a podcast, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys just picture it. Can you see it? Can you hear? Can you hear the fluttering of our lashes?
Doing it as hard as I can.
We've got some pretty long and luxurious lashes. I feel like you should be able to.
Thanks, Mark Jacobs.
It sounds like a falcon.
Anyway, next story. Later on in college, I was in a really dark place mentally. I had been a bank teller and working when the branch I was working at experienced a terrible armed robbery and, long story short, I was not coping well. On top of that, I had just heard that a friend of mine from high school had come back early from a religious mission and had taken his own life. I was heartbroken. I felt like my world was falling apart around me. The night I had heard the news about my friend, I had a dream that he was in my dorm room, sitting on my bed, and we talked about everything that had happened. I caught up. It was cathartic, and when I woke up, there was an impression on my bed where he had been sitting on my bed in the dream. That dream became a turning point for me, and I started to get better from there.
Wow.
That's cool. That one gave me goosebumps.
It did. I like all three of these stories had kind of a nice, positive, ultimately healing air to them. you know. That's good, because, I mean, that's something that's not explored enough, I think, in ghost story lore, is that usually it's just a scary experience. We were talking last time about how sometimes, you know, a scary story may not be that scary if you just let it go on a little longer.
Yeah.
You know, and there could be something very positive at the end of that yeah. very spooky rainbow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a nice story.
Yeah.
Nice trio of stories, actually.
Little trio.
Now, Beth, we understand that you have another yes. personal account.
And it's interesting that you say, had I waited a little longer, and I will get to that.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So, this comes with some history at the end that is very interesting. But so, when I was in my 20s, it was the year 2000. And I should preface, yes, in the year 2000, I moved into an apartment. In the year 2000, I lived by myself. But I should say that I have lived in over 36 places in my life. I've moved right. quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I've lived on my own often. I love being by myself. I do not spook, you know, I don't get scared. And I also, because I've lived in so many different places, I'm familiar with sounds of neighbors and, you know, all of those kinds of things that just kind of happen around you, those white noise, weird things yeah. with apartments, especially if you're sharing walls. So I'm aware of that. But I moved into this apartment, and when it was called Oak Run Apartments, it's on Preston Oaks and Preston Road.
In Dallas. Google it.
And when I went to go, you know, try and get a place there, they show you around the property.
It's huge, too.
Yeah. It's pretty big. The Oak Run is pretty big. There's one that's right next to it that's even bigger. But Oak Run has this large courtyard, and they take you there. They don't show you, like, the driveway by these apartments or anything for a very specific reason, which I didn't know until I moved in. And when I moved in, you can either park right up in front of your house or your apartment or whatever, and then across the driveway there was a long chain link fence that you could park up against. But that chain link fence was fencing in a 100-year-old cemetery.
Inside the apartment.
Inside
there's
the apartment car. The apartment
house. There's just a random cemetery.
Yes, and I'll get to the history of that okay. later, because I didn't find out about it later.
They have to build around it.
Yeah, so it was... I mean, there was like a tombstone up against the chain link fence that was like from 1890.
How far away was your apartment from the grave?
A car's length, a driveway for two cars to pass through, and then a park, like a regular street.
So too close.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing.
And then, you know, you have
yards.
Tombstones right there.
Just yards from your door.
Yeah. So if you came home late at night, nobody parked on the chain link fence side. I mean, everyone was trying to park as close to their apartments as they could. Right. No one wanted to park
it's
there.
It's like they didn't want to be literally right next to
them. Yeah.
Okay.
And it bothered me, but it just kind of was like one of those, like, well, that's weird. Because I don't remember there being an entrance to this place. There was no signage anywhere to let you know what the cemetery was. I called the office to ask about it. They wouldn't give me any answers. Just that, yes, it's a cemetery. That's all we're... You know, that's all we're going to tell you legally that we're allowed to tell. Wow. So, whatever. I thought, in some way, I kind of thought it was cool. Not really thinking that this cemetery was probably much larger than what was actually there. And it is.
Wait, what?
It was originally an acre owned by the Scott family.
Okay.
And the Scott family in the 1850s, they were farmers. There were also slaves and freedmen that were buried there. And then they added an additional acre. And then it became known as the Union Cemetery, which was just for black people.
Okay.
So put a pin in that.
Okay.
So I started almost immediately noticing things happening in this apartment. And the first thing that happened was the toilet. It would flush completely. And I don't mean like you could hear water running, because sometimes in apartments, if someone upstairs flushed their toilet, you'd hear running water in your bathroom.
This
or,
is like you'd hear
yeah,
like someone.
I saw it once. Like I went in there as it happened, and I saw the handle go down, the water swirl, 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 and go down and fill all the way up. And this happened at least twice a day.
And there's no way for that to just happen, right?
Yeah.
That's not how they're designed.
Yeah.
Like it's not, it can't. That's fucked up.
Yeah, so, but that was, I mean, and again, I'm still like, well, maybe it's just this apartment.
You call her, you get it checked out.
Yeah, nothing, I just wasn't bothered by that. Okay. But until later, when I started realizing that this was odd. I had a cat, and the cat always slept on me at night. And I got it for work the next morning, went into the very small kitchen, you know, beige carpet, really simple, you know, cabinetry, you know, nothing fancy in this place. But all of the cabinet doors were open, the drawers were pulled open, and then the cabinets on either side flanking the sink, those were open. And I know cats sometimes play with cabinet doors because they're assholes, especially at night, you know? So that's immediately what I thought. I was like, okay, it's weird that the drawers are open.
It's a little excessive.
But maybe that's all it was.
Yeah.
So I close them, and I go to work. And often, because I didn't have much furniture in this place, it was just tons of beige carpet, so I really like to vacuum and get those lines in the carpet. Like, I just, that was so satisfying. So I'd vacuum my way out, because there was a closet right by the front door. I would put the vacuum in there, and I'd leave. So I'd come home to, like, this, oh, you know, floor of, like, oh, lines.
Looks like an English
Yeah, garden. Yeah. And this is also important. That carpet thing, it seems innocuous, but it's not. So then the next night, the cabinet doors happened again. And this time I heard it. I heard the doors because it woke me up. And the cat was dead asleep on me. So it wasn't the cat. Oof. And I didn't get up.
Doors open,
I heard like, I heard, like someone was like just barely pulling it and letting it go so it could vibrate up against the thing. Just like a cat playing with cabinets.
But your cat was on you.
But my cat was dead asleep on me.
What if it was a ghost cat?
What if it was a ghost cat?
Sorry.
So this becomes a pattern of me waking up and the doors being open and, you know, having to shut everything down. On the back wall of the apartment, I had a sliding glass door with shitty Venetian blinds. I hate Venetian blinds. They should all be destroyed.
I agree. So much.
But I never used that patio at all. There was no reason for me to.
Storage closet.
So there was a pin in the track. Yeah, there was a storage closet.
Yeah, that's
so there's the pin in the track.
That you took to you. With
exactly.
You every 36. Yes.
Exactly.
I feel you on that. Sorry.
And then, like, the day I moved in and the day I moved out, and that's it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there was a pin in the track to keep the door from opening. Mm-hmm. Then there was a bar that went across, like, about midway up that would also keep the door from opening. Then there was a lock on the door, and there was a screen door that you could only lock from the inside of the apartment.
So there were four different locks.
Yeah, tons, okay? And I remember the vacuum lines. I come home from work, the Venetian blinds have been pulled all the way back, the pin is out, the bar is up, the door is open about 4 inches, and that fucking screen door was locked.
Okay. So it had to be from inside.
It had to have happened from inside. My first thought is someone's in the house. You know, some creeper is in my house. There's no footprints on the carpet.
Oh.
Nothing.
Oh, fuck.
So I check everything. No one's in the house. So then I call the apartment office. Because, you know, sometimes they'll schedule maintenance. Someone will come into the apartment while you're gone because they have master keys and they just do that kind of thing. And she says, no, nothing has been scheduled. In fact, he's off today and the master keys are here. So he would have to come here to get the key to your apartment to do any sort of work. So that's not it. And my front door was latched with the deadbolt too, which they don't have keys for.
Right.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm still not thinking ghost. For some reason, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking that there is some creeper dude who's followed me into my house or something.
That's
or
so
is, like, living in my house, maybe, or just fucking with me.
Yeah.
Because how could anyone have gotten to that door from the outside? They couldn't have.
Yeah.
They couldn't have done any of that. So, that's upsetting. So compounded with the toilet and the doors and all of that and the fucking cemetery outside. So this is 2 months later.
Okay.
Only 2 months. This was the last straw for me. I was watching Anne of Green Gables in my apartment with my cat.
I was lying down
in the middle of the floor just kind of petting him and blah blah blah. No. You know, scarlet fever. And I keep hearing this squeaking behind me, And it's kind of like, you know, some fireplaces that have those hanging grate curtain things,
yeah,
you know?
Yes.
It sounds like someone's just slowly, like, doing that, because it's a metal squeaking sound. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
But I ignored it, because I'm thinking maybe someone upstairs, someone outside.
The wind coming through the
floor. Yeah, whatever. But I keep fucking hearing it.
Yeah.
And it's getting louder. So I finally hear it, and I finally am like, I need to see what this is, and I'll, you know, pause Anne of Green Gables, I guess, and see what this shit is. And I look behind me, and I have this very large chair and ottoman that was relatively new, so there's no, like, springs, there's no, it's like a foam base with a wood frame, doesn't make any noise except, you know, when you sit on it. There's, I mean, there's no way. So I look behind me.
Spell that P-F-F-T.
I look behind me and I hear the squeak. As it's squeaking, the seat depresses. Like someone has sat down behind me. I see the fucking cushion go down.
Oh, no.
My lights are on in my apartment. Like, it's not dark. I'm not, like, you know, movie night and, you know, Anne of Green Gables in the dark or anything. It's like the lights are on and I see the seat depress. So I stand up and I'm like, all right, motherfuckers. I know you're here now.
Right.
And I'm going to leave. I just need you to be cool until I get out of here.
Yeah, that's also
and
a
nothing
brand new chair.
Fucking happened ever again after that.
Really?
But I broke my lease. I was so scared.
And you were only 2 months into it. That's a
break. That's an expensive break.
Yeah.
And I wasn't making like crazy money or anything.
Did they say anything to you?
So I'm moving out. I'm packing up the U-Haul. And this guy who's just outside, I guess he lived there. He was like, hey, are you moving out or are you moving in? I was like, oh, I'm moving out. And he's like, oh, that's a shame. I didn't get to know you or anything like that. It's like, yeah, just gotta get on out of here. And he goes, is it because of the hauntings? And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that why? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh, yeah, it happens all the time here. Some people can deal with it and some people can't. What the fuck? What the fuck? So I'm like, okay, so I'm not crazy.
That would be in the lease.
That's like, yeah. Where were you my first day?
They don't have to tell you unless you ask.
Yeah.
If you ask, then they have to tell you that it's a cemetery. So here's the part. Here's the historical part.
Okay.
So the part that was actually exposed that you could see was very small. It is a very small plot of land. If it's an acre. I mean, that's probably a gross exaggeration, because it used to be 2 acres.
Yeah.
Now, there are several black historians in Dallas that always talk about the cemetery, because there were so many issues with white people basically trying to buy out this land from them, because they were slaves, they were freedmen, they were black families, but there are still survivors of the people that are buried there that still want to pay their respects.
Yeah.
Some people that actually have plots that they've purchased to be buried in. So it's an active cemetery. You have to go through an alley behind the apartment complex and in through their parking lot just to get to a cemetery. Because now it's no longer a chain link fence. They have put a wood fence around it so that none of the people that live there know that it's there.
But you can look at it on Google Maps.
You can. It's called the White Rock Garden of Memories Cemetery.
And it is nowhere near White Rock.
No.
Lake.
Well,
the lake.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of the people that were buried there built tons of things in that area, or they were farmers, and their farmlands were taken from them. In fact, North Park is also built on a cemetery. Interestingly enough, right next to it is Restland, which is where all the white rich people get buried.
Right, right. I knew that,
but that was all black-owned lands, black cemetery. I mean, there are so many places
so
in Dallas that have just been paved over, built over.
So, okay, if I'm understanding you correctly, this used to be a very large cemetery.
A 2-acre cemetery.
That is now less than an acre.
Mm-hmm.
So they just built on top of it.
They built directly on top of these.
So your apartment was just right on top of a grave.
Yes. And like knowing that, because nothing was really threatening.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was scary. It scared the shit out of me.
Well,
but
sure.
It wasn't threatening. And now I'm like, man, I wish I hadn't left.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had you know.
And that ghost is like, man, I wish I knew how Anna Green Gable.
Exactly. They really wanted to know if Gilbert dies of scarlet fucking fever.
How fucked up is that? That, like, you know, because this is a cemetery that's being built on top of, and it's only possible for these schmucks to build on top of it because it's a cemetery for people of color. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And there,
if
I mean,
they try to
lot,
do that on top of
they actually
or something
think
like
it's
that,
actually
it
bigger than that. Yeah. Because a lot of them were unmarked graves because they were, you know, slaves, and so they didn't have any sort of marker, or they were all just put into one plot.
What?
So yeah, what? It's all of those apartments on Preston Oaks and Preston, and I we went there the other day because I wanted to see if I could find it. And Oak Run is no longer Oak Run; it's called something else. But there's the first. If you go down Preston Oaks, there's an apartment complex on the right hand side. Skip that one. It's the next one. And in the parking lot, you'll see these tall wood fences. And behind that wood fence is the fucking cemetery. But somewhere in there is it's accessible via alleyway to get to this cemetery. Yeah. Isn't that fucked up?
It's real fucked up.
Building on graves.
Well, building on graves, specifically graves of people that, you know, were already exploited in life and couldn't get a break while they were alive.
Yeah, and some of them were actually wealthy black families that were celebrated, and now nobody gives a crap. They're not talked about. They're not, you know, nobody knows anything about them.
But you have to, like, what kind of fucking unfeeling sociopath looks at a cemetery and goes, this is prime real estate.
This is going to be an apartment complex with beige carpets and, you know, shitty cabinets.
Who fucking does that? I mean, it's like, did no one see Poltergeist?
Yeah. You know? Did Tangina not teach you anything?
How do we ignore the lessons of history and film?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
But you have to sit and wonder, like, how often is that the case where, like, land you're building on, especially when there's an economic boom somewhere.
Well,
and there's more often than you would think,
especially in Dallas. And, I mean, once I started looking up this cemetery, I was amazed at how many parts of our city are cemeteries that have been built on top
of. Here. And, well, I grew up in McKinney, just 30 miles north.
A landfill they built on top of?
Partially. Mm-hmm. Part of it. But when they started building, about 25 years ago, they started building, probably more like 30 years ago, they started building Stonebridge, which was the big, big, illustrious, like, rich doctor, lawyer, you know, billionaire area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's the North Park.
Yes,
it's
it is,
mall
and they,
for people, you know, it is a mall.
And they found because there was all this land out there that just wasn't being used. It was farmland for people, and it was Deer Creek and Irwin Park, those areas that just no one was using them for anything. And they started building on it because it was cheap, and then they could build expensive, you know, huge homes on there. And they found cemeteries that no one had even seen in forever, because a lot of cemeteries crop up because, like, a homestead. You bury your family on the property. So there might be, you know, a dozen or so graves of immediate family, and then once the family dies out, there's no one there to remember that cemetery is there. Mm-hmm. There's no one who remembers it was, you know, it was never on any official register because this was before it was incorporated into the township. So they found several cemeteries in that area, and there was one, a friend of mine that was one of the first families to buy a house in that area, was like, oh yeah, just down the road between two houses, just nestled in there was a cemetery of about, you know, a dozen graves or so. And there's no way in hell that was the only
plot,
you know, that had to have been like, well, that's just where we could still find headstones that were standing.
Yeah.
But you, like, God knows how many people built their houses on top of cemeteries.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how they're able to excuse one cemetery and not another.
Right.
Well, usually based on the economic status of the people that are buried there or their color.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a kind of running theme with people going, you know, well, with Native American burial grounds, how many of those are so dilapidated that we don't even know we're building on top of them now? And people think of that something that doesn't happen very often. That was back in the colonial days or something. And we hear stories, but what people don't realize is that stuff still happens with the burial sites of people whose relatives are for whom this is still living memory.
Yeah.
You know, that just like, oh yeah, that cemetery is back there and no one took care of it. I mean, it's fucked up. Mm-hmm. As a society, I feel our relationship to death and the dead is really skewed, so that it's easy for us to forget the final resting places.
Unlike our you know, my grandma and your mother who would keep
who kept pictures. Filing, you know, cabinet or shoeboxes full of that stuff.
Yeah. Oof. What fresh hell is this?
What fresh hell is
Indeed.
This?
Indeed.
Ever fresh.
Holy crap. Well, whew. Thank you.
Thank you.
For coming.
I had fun.
Hanging out with us. Just, yeah. Beth is one of our friends. Beth, this is just kind of what we do when we hang out. So yes. It's really nice to
great
share
stories.
With you guys. Just get around and chit-chat with each other. Thank you.
Thank
again.
You.
And thank you everyone for listening. Tell your friends, and you know, if you want to give us really good reviews, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central, we'll be live streaming a Q&A about today's episode on Twitch. We can also talk about the previous episode. We did not do a Q&A for that one because we were busy doing our live stream of Halloween.
Yes.
Having stories and stew. But you can find us on Twitch at Ghoul Intentions.
You can also go to ghoulintentions.com for links to our social media sites, our blog, and most importantly, where you can submit your own personal supernatural experience for consideration to be read on a future episode of Ghoul Intentions. Mm. Now, here's my favorite part. We end every episode like this, okay. Beth. And sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. Jamie has a quote for me that I have to guess. And I guess bragging rights if I do, and if I don't, she gets to laugh in my face. Which she's going to do anyway, it's regardless. True. It's kind of a damned if I do, damned. What fresh hell is this? Every okay. week. Okay, what is it? What is it? And if you know it, Beth, you may indicate, but don't give it away.
I shan't.
You probably know it.
All right. I'll stay with you through the night, just on the chance that you're right. And if you are right, damn you for letting him go.
But I really have no idea, I but know. I want to say Ghostbusters 2.
would you like a hint?
Yes.
What is today the day that we're actually recording this?
We're recording
it. Oh, is it from Halloween?
It's from Halloween.
It's from Halloween.
What's the scene? I don't remember that line.
It's Bracket and Halloween.
Oh. Oh.
Damn.
Oh!
Letting go, yeah.
That's good.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Have you seen a new one yet?
No, and I hear it's
everyone said it was really good.
I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, well, because John Carpenter like composed the music and was a consultant on it too. And so yeah. Oh, the original Halloween is one of my favorite mm-hmm. scary movies. It holds up incredibly well, in my opinion.
It yeah. does. Well, on that, you're a loser.
I lose. Not because I love Halloween, but because I couldn't. Apparently, I don't love it enough.
You don't. You are a farce.
I'm deeply ashamed. I deserve to be buried in a forgotten cemetery.
Have nightmares. But no, it's okay. You don't have to have nightmares because
it's okay to sleep with the lights on.
That's our tagline.